are the servant of sin until the moment that Jesus by his Spirit sets us free.
Yes.
Amen. That's what he does. There is a great liberation that takes place. And oh, happy day when Jesus sets you free from the bonds of sin. It's an awful life. It's a hard life. It's a difficult life that has no reward. But Jesus comes and he sets you free. He gives you liberty. Does he not? But that person that has been set free by the grace of Jesus Christ willingly turns around and yields their liberty to be the servant of the Son of God. Don't think for a second. And here was the pollution of the Galatian church. Don't think for a second that you contribute. Don't think for a second that you earn.
Amen. That's right.
Don't think for a second that you deserve salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
If there's any element of that in your fault, then salvation is not of grace, it's of obligation.
Amen.
And God is under obligation to no man.
Amen.
Salvation's not a reward.
Amen.
Salvation's not a paycheck. Salvation is a free gift that God gives to whosoever will repent and believe. The pollution of the Galatian church was that they were mixing works in their salvation. They thought they could maintain their salvation by their works. John MacArthur said, "If I could lose my salvation, I would have lost my salvation." Brother Lynn, I heard, of course, I've been raised up in missionary Baptist churches my whole life. Presbyterians drill their children with the catechisms. They have the long catechism, then they have the shorter catechism. They make their children learn and memorize those catechisms. I know a little bit about that because it's been drilled in me since I can remember the 18 articles of faith. And I love that confession of faith. It is my confession of faith. It's the one that I hold to. And it's the one that I lift up as the doctrine that I preach. Amen. I don't worship them. And I don't allow them to take the place of the Bible. But I realize in terms of theological systems and statements of faith that they are a very, very good system. And it's been drilled in me since I can remember the perseverance of the saints. Huh? That this, we believe that, I can't quote it verbatim, but we believe only those that are truly saved are those that endure to the end. Huh? Their attachment to Christ is the grand mark of their faith that distinguishes them from superficial professors. We endure. We go on. But we go on not because of our own energy. We go on not because of our own strength. We endure and we persevere because of the work of God in us. Because we believe that he that hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And it's not my grip on him that defines or energizes my perseverance. It's his unrelenting grip upon me. It's the fact that he won't let me go. I've tried to walk away. I've tried to step away. Listen, I saw my dad pastor churches and I saw bad things happen to him and folks say bad things about him. And I saw folks that were in and out. I saw fakes and I saw frauds. And I come to myself and said, if this is all there is to it, I don't want any part of it. I tried walking away. But what I found out sometime later is there's an anchor that's placed behind the veil. And it reaches from there to here. And an anchor's not meant to keep you in one place. An anchor is intended to keep you from not going too far. I was about to go. My feet had well nigh slipped. And the anchor chain went tight and pulled me back home. It's his work in us. We don't maintain our own salvation. If you received the recompense of the sins that you entertained in your mind today, you'd be in hell. They said, I didn't do too bad today, Brother Chris, by the way. I'm in church on a Friday night. Well, bless your heart. But you know who you are. And you know what I can't see. And what I can't see that you're glad that I don't see. And that I'm glad that y'all don't see about me. He knows it, Brother Chris. Neither is there not anything that's not manifest in his sight. For all things are naked and open before the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Somebody said, why, Brother Chris? Then if that's the truth, if he knows me and he knows the naughtiness of my heart, why then does he keep on coming back? Why does he keep me in the faith? Why does he walk with me? Because greater love hath no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. And he's not called you servants, but he's called you friends. Because you are a gift of the Father to the Son. That's what you are. You, individually, if you're saved tonight, you are a gift of God the Father to the Son. Huh? And before he left this world, he got alone and he prayed a prayer that only he could pray. And he said, Father, while I was in the world, I kept them that you gave to me. And I didn't lose not one of them. Now let's not even talk about the son of perdition, because he was never given to the son. Huh? In the final analysis, what Peter and what Judas did, there's not that much difference in what Peter and Judas did. In the final analysis. The only thing about it is Judas got some money for it. He couldn't spend that money though. But when time come, and when it entered into the heart of Judas what he was going to do, when Satan entered into him, he was going to do what he was about to. You remember what Jesus told him? He looked at him and said, now you go doing what you're going to do and do it quickly. But the same sovereign that knew Judas was the deceiver also knew that Peter was going to be sifted. And what did he say to him? He didn't say, now Peter, you go on and do that. You come back when you feel like it. He said, no. He said, Simon, Simon, Satan's desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I've prayed for you, that your faith fail not. When you're converted, when you're changed because of what you're about to go through, you strengthen the brethren. Huh? And Mark's gospel records that when Jesus got up, he said to them, women, you go tell my disciples, you make sure you tell Peter as well, that I've risen. I'll go before them in Galilee. I'm telling you what the difference between Judas and Peter is. That the Lord had no claim on Judas. He didn't belong to him. He wasn't his. But Peter was God's child, and he wasn't going to let him go without a fight. And I'm telling you, he ain't never picked a fight that he couldn't win. Every fight he engages in, it's a fixed fight. It's over with before it starts. Y'all know that? We have a lot of unnecessary anxiety in our lives because we're just not convinced that this thing's going to turn out like he said it's going to. But it's as good as over with. Huh? We're just waiting. Paul said in the book of Romans, I know this is all over the map. We're just waiting like Paul said in the book of Romans chapter 1, right? We're waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. All of creation groans. Huh? Waiting for the glory that's going to be revealed in us to be revealed. It's as good as over with. We're just waiting for it to play out. Huh? It's kind of like this. I love to read, okay? And y'all might get mad at me, but I'll read things sometimes that ain't biblical. You know, 95% of the stuff in my library is to help me understand that book, but about 5% of it is just stuff that Brother Chris loves to read. And I love to read an Agatha Christie novel. I love it. Murder mysteries. And after reading a few of them, Brother Jack, this is what I figured out I'd do. Now, I can't hardly stand it. When in chapter number 1 of the book, it'll set the stage and there'll be all the characters. Then in chapter number 2, somebody's about to die. Yeah. And then you've got to spend another 10 or 15 chapters with a lot of anxiety figuring out who did it. So what I figured out a long time ago was that I'll read chapter 1 and I'll read chapter 2, and I'll figure out who got wonked, and then I'll go the last chapter, and I'll figure out who did it, and then I'll go back to chapter 3, and I'll keep my eye on that joker the whole way through. That's what I do. Well, hey, go home tonight and read Revelation. Find out who wins in the end. And then go back to the book of Matthew and keep your eye on him. And if you'll do that, you'll see him in those situations where he gets upset. You'll see him in those situations where he gets anxious. I mean, you'll see him in situations where there's about 5,000 people, not counting women and children, that need to be fed, and Jesus wants to feed them, but everybody's getting around. There's a committee that's gathered up, the food committee, you know, and they put the old man at the head of that committee and says, we've got just a little bit here. 200 penny worth, that's not enough to go and buy, that everybody might take a little. And then there's this little lad here that's got 5 loaves and 2 fishes, but what are these among so many? But you want to know what Jesus said? Bring him to me. Huh? He takes 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He blesses them and he breaks them and he feeds everybody, and they have more left over than what they did when they started. You can't put him in no jam. You can't put him in no tight. He ain't no skin flint, buddy. Huh? He ain't a tight wad. There's somebody here tonight that is convinced, and you're saved and you're a genuine believer, and you're convinced that somebody else in this meeting's been more blessed than you are. But if you'd get in your Bible, you'd find out, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You'll find out that you're an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Amen. You've got all things pertaining to life and godliness, they're all in Christ. When you received him, you received it all. What's going on in Galatians? I'll be done. Paul goes on the offense. Because when it comes to the gospel, Brother Jeff Sims, this is my fault for now, okay? When it comes to the gospel, that, beloved, is the hill that we've got down. When it comes to the gospel. All right, here's where my heart is. Here's where my heart is. Paul told them Corinthians, they come behind in no spiritual gift. But he told them Galatians, I stand in doubt of you. I marvel, verse number 6. That you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another. There be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Though we... Do you hear how serious this is? Though we... or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. That word, which means let him be accursed, means mark that man off for nothing but destruction. Listen to what Paul says. If anybody comes preaching to you any other gospel than what we preach to you, if we even come back and preach another gospel than what we preach to you, then let us be accursed as well. Fact of the matter is, beloved, tonight, that there are apostates amongst us tonight. Apostates just ain't sitting in the crowd not coming to church. There's some in the pulpit. Even in our county. And the temptation of this hour, Brother Chris Sims, is to look around at what the apostates are doing, because they always draw a crowd. They always do. They always do. An apostate, let me say something right quick about apostate. Now, I promise I'm trying to hurry. My heart really is troubled. Because I'm going to tell you what I'm hearing a lot in churches. I hear a lot of preaching about things. But there is folks all up and down this country that are carrying a King James Bible. They're dressing in a nice suit. And they've got crowds of people overflowing. And they've got the right kind of songs, Brother Jeff. The right kind of music that makes you feel real good. And they got folks running laps and shouting and replicating what they saw our forefathers do. But it's an imitation only. What's missing from it, Brother Chris? What's missing from it? If you watch it and you pay attention and you fill yourself with that Bible and yield yourself the Spirit of God, you will notice that the presence of the Holy Ghost is strangely missing. But they're shouting. They're running the aisles. They're kicking up sawdust. They're doing all that stuff. And what's strangely missing, Brother Brandon Kelly, is the gospel. There's a lot of manipulation. There's a lot of professions. They can get somebody out of their seat. Brother Wynn, I don't know about y'all. I don't want to see people get saved every Sunday. I really do. I really do. But I am not authorized to do just whatsoever to get somebody saved. Huh? I am not men and neither are you. And if we abandon the gospel at the sake of results, we'll get results. But we will not be used in building the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel's missing. It's just not that. And what I'm afraid, more than losing the old time way, what I'm afraid is that we've got some young men coming up preaching that are preaching about all the things. They're preaching about what happened in them days when grandma shouted. And there ain't nothing wrong with that. But young man, where's the gospel at when you're preaching? Where's it at? Give yourself to know that. Preach that. You can turn anywhere in this book and preach the gospel. I guarantee you, it's all in there. If we, and I want you, and I want you to think about this. The last place you'd have thought they were in danger of losing the gospel was down at the church. But there it is in Galatians. Here's what will happen. You can go on and have church. You can have a crowd. You can have the best singing that money can buy. You can have all the programs. All the people. But unless that gospel's being preached, there is no power. Especially to save sinners. And what you'll end up being is a church without a candlestick. The Lord's charged my heart. I am so grateful. So grateful to be pastoring in Abbotville. I am. And I'm honored to have this. This is your preacher's lack of faith, okay? I thought to myself, you know, our church had been involved in this meeting the last few years, and I thought, man, if we can just get two or three, we got like four or five rows sitting back here. And I praise the Lord for it. I hope you'll welcome them into the fellowship. Huh? I hope you will. Because here's the deal. The Lord's knit my heart to them. If you don't have them, you won't have me. And you may not want me. I don't know. If you do, don't tell me, okay? That'll hurt my feelings. Just don't invite me or something. But I'm honored to get to preach in my hometown, in my home community, right there where I was born and raised. I left a good church in Mocha and come over here to Pastor Corinth. I left Corinth. My heart, Brother Lynn, is not to build the biggest church in Marshall County. I hope it packs out Sunday. I hope it people to invite folks.
Yeah.
Witness to them.
Sure.
But my heart is to have a pulpit with an open Bible where the gospel's preached.
Amen.
Because the gospel is, listen, I'm closing with this. It's not our way of worship that's the power of God unto salvation.
Yes, sir.
It is not our way of worship. And I love our way of worship. I believe it's in spirit and it's in truth, but it's not our way of worship that's the power of God unto salvation. It's not even the King James Bible that's the power of God unto salvation. It's not a preacher in a suit, and it's not in a man that hacks and spits and slobbers and runs and yells. It's the power of God unto salvation. It is the gospel. That message of what God done in His Son.
Amen.
That the Holy Spirit will take and convict and convert sinners.
Amen.
Our little churches here, our little network here, our little fellowship here. Let's be careful. Because if we make the wrong thing priority, we'll lose the main thing.
Amen.
We'll be out of business.
Amen.
We'll be out of business.
Amen.
We'll be out of business.